The New Spins Library. Hey Montreal, it's a great day out there. You are tuned to the New Spins Library on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. We have a full show for you today, with two pre-recorded interviews from the Music Spot and one pre-recorded interview from Arts and Culture. The first interview is with Aisha Sasha John of the Diana Ross Dream. The dance production is coming up soon, and Aisha will tell us all about it. The second pre-recorded interview is from Karine Omicro. Karine comes from Benin and now lives in Montreal. Her African music makes up her new album. We'll hear some music from that coming up. The third interview is with David Kelmer of Kelmer and the Beating Hearts. His new album, Love is a Way of Living, is well worth a listen. We'll get to know Kelmer later in the show. 8 o'clock brings Democracy Now!, 8:15 brings Weather, and after some music we'll visit the podcast called In the Shower with Taz and Marcus, where this week's question is, are humans really the top of the food chain? After some more music, we'll wrap up the show. Let's start the day off with some music.
They say you're heartless, but I don't care what other people say. Safely departed from all the norms of society. So what's your problem? You say you want me and nothing else competes. But then you're stalling from showing me what could be our dreams. So maybe then you don't feel nothing when I touch your hand. How can I love you if you just pretend? This one chance to prove how much you really care for me. Don't leave me waiting, my heart in plastic hands for you to break. Anticipating that it might already be too late. So maybe
this is Brian Campbell, and you're listening to New Spins Library on CKUT.
It's a lightning morning, the sun is shining bright. Put away your sadness, dear, we're gonna have a bright good time.
Artist, poet, and choreographer Aisha Sasha John is interested in choreographing performances that are occasions for real and multitudinous actions of love. For Diana Ross Dream, it all began in the summer of 2015 in Montreal. The creator falls asleep with a question. Her dream answers it. Diana Ross on Broadway in a sea of rose gold costume dancers, a dream of spiritedness and belonging so intense that it compels her to act, a true call to creation. With us today, we have Aisha Sasha John, creator of Diana Ross Dream. Hi, Aisha Sasha John, and welcome to the show.
Hello, thank you.
First, please introduce yourself and tell us how you were inspired to create the Diana Ross Dream.
My name is Aisha Sasha John. I'm an artist. I work in performance. I choreograph and I perform, and I'm also a poet. The inspiration from the dream comes from a few different avenues. You named one of them, the literal dream that I had 7 years ago, but it feels like the dream is of Diana Ross, but it's of Diana Ross in The Wiz. So Diana Ross played Dorothy in the Motown version of The Wiz. And I was in that play in The Wiz in high school. So the music from that play is very deep in my psyche, particularly the Wizards songs. And I think that the way that Diana Ross and the Scarecrow, especially, they're finding each other in this strange land, and the kind of home that they found in their shared lostness feels like an important allegory for how I felt as a Black dancer, especially as a Black dancer who is trained in non-Western forms. My training is in Congolese and Ethiopian dance and Caribbean dance and in Western improvisation techniques, but that came later. That's been the past 10 years or 12 years. The idea was to build my own community of the kind of dancers of who I felt like I could share an embodied language with, because I'm interested in how we talk to each other with our bodies and what gets communicated through embodiment. It takes a particular kind of sensitivity and a willingness to be seen and a transparency to have those kinds of embodied conversations. And I find it really beautiful as an audience member. I remember seeing a show a few years ago in Montreal where I saw two dancers having what for me looked like a conversation, and it made me cry. So yeah, there's a host of reasons or inspirations that come together to form the work.
Who worked with you on this project, and what did everyone do?
Yeah, I had a lot of people work with me on the project. So right now, the cast is myself and Devin Snell, a dancer from Toronto. And in the past, I worked with Marcus Paris Johnson, another dancer from Toronto, and Tyra Temple Smith, also everyone's from Toronto, and they were really important to the development of the piece, and their spirits are definitely with us as we're working on it here. I worked with lighting designer Karen Gauthier, still working with her right now. The work was developed in residency at Dance Makers, so I worked on it for over a year through Dance Makers, through that support. It's being produced at Densité. I've had four or five different outside eyes, Deidre McDermott, Evan Weber, Ellen Fury, Kalale Dalton, Lutale. It's a huge team. The music, oh my God, the music is by New Chance, Vic Chung, and Amy Manusov. And the music is so critical to the work. Costumes, also really important. Nida Kwasowski and Devin Snell.
What is your personal history? How did you come to be involved in the Diana Ross Dream?
Well, it's my project. I would say that the project was I had that dream in 2015, and wanting to make a group piece has been a big part of my choreographic vision, but this Dance Makers residency made it really possible in a material sense. I have made an ensemble piece before. I was working with a group called Wives. It was a collective where the other two members were based here in Montreal. But that was a co-choreographed work called Action Movie. It was at La Chapelle in 2017. Those two artists were white, and working with white artists in that way was really challenging, actually. And so I think wanting an all Black cast also was a result of having the experience that I had working with Wives.
What is the story you were telling in the Diana Ross dream?
I'm not sure if there's a story exactly that we're telling. I think we're trying to create conditions under which we can access a kind of freedom that only the performance space makes possible. And that, I think, can tell like many stories. I think one maybe really important aspect about the work is relation and seeing how being in relation to different elements dances the individual. So myself and Devin being in relation to each other, being in relation to the materials on stage, being in relation to the music, being in relation to the audience, being in relation to the space. I guess I understand dance as an inherently like relational activity. And through sort of narrowing and clarifying what those relationships are, that has been a way that I've been able to make work.
What is your community vision for Black people being together?
My community vision for Black people being together is just that. Like, I was born here in Montreal, and I lived in Côte des Neiges. This was in the 80s, and I left here when I was 7, and I moved to Vancouver. And so the first 7 years of my life, I lived in an all-Black neighborhood, and my elementary school was majority Black. And what that meant was that I could be a person. Like, I mean, given the context of white supremacy and colonialism, it meant that in that environment, I wasn't a Black person. I was Aisha. And it was, and a Black environment allows me access to personhood in a way that non-Black environments don't. And so, yes, for me, this dream of Black being together is a dream of a kind of freedom to be me, quote unquote. It's also about a freedom to like mourn and grieve and rage and thrash and pursue pleasure and without like, and explore the way that we've internalized white gazes. And there's a particular kind of like alchemy that we're doing together that we can only do together because of the nature of our being in this world. And it's an opportunity to sort of heal some of the wounds of our political and sociological status. And at the same time, or not at the same time, and that healing is itself a function of the spiritual reality of our sort of infinitude as people, as souls. And there's something about the trust in each other's eyes, the trust and the protection and the support of each other's witness that provides a kind of like hyper possible and hyper safe space to be and to express and to connect to like an energizing and a necessary vulnerability. All of these things are a function of Black being together.
What do you wish the audience to experience while watching the show?
I wish the audience to see people doing something for the first time. I'm really interested in liveness and in decisions being made in the petri dish of the performance moment. And that's a very important chunk of the work, this like large field improvisation. So I'm interested in the audience having an encounter with our psychic like openness, with our receptive practices. I find that as an audience member, when I see people channeling, when I see people in entranced, that witnessing that is itself like a reminder of the possibilities for myself. So I'm hoping that people have an experience of awe. Like, spectacle is also really important to me. And I've tried to make like a pretty beautiful spectacle. So yeah, I hope that people have an experience of beauty and have an experience of grace.
May we listen to a few minutes of audio from the show?
Absolutely.
This is the Diana Ross Dream on the New Spins Library. Where will the Diana Ross Dream be touring this year?
This is the premiere, and we don't have any tour dates as yet.
Where will we see the Diana Ross Dream, and what will we pay?
It's at Theatre La Chapelle. Tickets are $30, but for the premiere, they're $15, and there's a reduced rate of $25.
What are the run dates?
The run dates are September 29th, Thursday, September 29th and 30th, and October 1st, which is the Saturday.
If our listeners want more information about the Diana Ross Dream, where should they go?
They should go to the La Chapelle website.
Thank you for your interview today.
You're very welcome.
You've been listening to Aisha Sasha John, creator of the Diana Ross Dream. I am your host, Sheila Ferrando.
Some.
Karina Micro is pleased to invite you to her launch concert for the release of her new album, Doto Nasi, on Thursday, September 29th at 6 p.m. at Le Balcon. At the crossroads of different cultural influences, the album is above all marked by the heritage of her native Benin. It is a way for her to get closer spiritually to a country from which she is physically distant. Come and attend a warm atmosphere concert marked by the power of gospel and the sweetness of jazz. With us today, we have Karina Micro. Hi, Karina, and welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
First, please introduce yourself and tell us how you came to be a musician.
My name is Karina Micro. I am a Montreal-based artist, but I'm from Benin, as you introduced me. How I came to music, I will say that it was not meant to be. Actually, when I started, it was as a dancer, but I was very young. I was still a kid. And then when I was about 16 or 17 years old, my school was organizing a party at the end of the year, the school year. And I was asked to sing for this specific event. So I was not very sure about the singing, but I just tried. And then the reaction that I got from the audience was very nice. So I decided to keep on doing it, but it was just for fun. So at some point I went to France and I did the same thing. I was doing that for fun until the day people started to pay me for my performances. So I was like, okay, now I have to take it a bit more serious, you know, seriously. So that's how I started in music. And then when I arrived here in Quebec, I met some specific musicians that I'm still working with today. And they kind of pushed me in front of the stage. And here I am doing albums and and shows and stuff like that. So it was not meant to be, but I guess life brought me there.
What was life like for you in Benin as a child?
It was very nice, actually, because I was lucky to live in a country where peace was there. So it was a normal childhood.
When you were a child in Benin, where did you like to play?
Actually, we were lucky enough to have a house that was big enough to provide a playground. So I was sharing that playground with my siblings and my cousins. So we were at home. We were safe at home.
What do you do other than music to inspire you?
My inspiration comes from the day-to-day life. I will say it like that.
Who are your bandmates and what do they play or do?
Oh, my bandmates. I have Noel Mpiaza, who plays drum. And he's from Congo, DRC Congo. I have a Dauphin Mbui, is also from DRC Congo, and he plays bass guitar. I have, for the album Lunch, I have Erneuf Le Quinois, is also from DRC Congo. Then I have David Mobio, he's the keyboardist. And I have Molo Bali Kone from Mali, and he plays percussions.
May we hear some of your music?
Yes. Do you have some?
Yes, I have Mu Donku. Have I said that right?
Yeah, Mu Donku, yeah.
Okay, well, this is Mu Donku on the New Spins Library.
bekegbe telephone a dile kwa me dada nye de kroche mdongu kebe pudu vajim le honye me bebe mdongu mbato a vi fanfan e msegbe o doda doda lo mdongu mdongu nwere nto cho na vinye obe nye ne imava ke mucho iyo vode kwa ochan
process you went through producing this latest album called Doto Nase?
Actually, I had a bunch of songs written since the first one, actually, but I was not concentrate enough to get into it. So when the pandemic happens, since we were at home, I took my time and, you know, make some corrections, and, you know, that's how it came solid. I will say it like that. But the process, it was a bit hard this time because of the pandemic, because we were not free to do whatever we wanted to do. And the musicians were a little bit picky too, because we can go in the studio at the same time. So we have to arrange times. It was a bit different, let's say it like that. But it doesn't matter, because the result is, I'm happy about the result. So
yeah. May we hear some more of your music?
Of course.
This is Aja Dada on CKUT. If our listeners want some free listening time or to buy your music, where should they go?
They can go on every legal platform, online platforms. I'm there. Also, if they want to have the CD, actually the new one, because the first one, I don't have any more copies. They were all sold. But for the new ones, I will have some physical copies on next Thursday for the album launch. I will put a link when everything is ready, where people will be able to order the CD if they want to have the physical one. But I will say that first thing is to go onto my website, which is www.carinomicro.com, and they will be able to order whatever they need to have.
Thank you for your interview today.
Thank you for having me.
You've been listening to Carino Micro speaking about herself, her music, and her album launch concert at Le Balcon at 6 p.m., September 29th, 2022. We warmly invite you to join us at this free concert event. Following up his successful single release last year, David Kelmer is finally ready to unveil his Opus debut album, Love is a Way of Living. It's an homage to his hero, Ringo Starr, but also the loving friendships he has experienced throughout high school and university, and as a professional drummer for 15 years. The album is about holding on to the important relationships and the little things while realizing that when the chips are down, the people who love you always have your back. With us today, we have David Kelmer. Hi, Kelmer, and welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks. It's great to be here.
First, please introduce yourself and tell us how you came to be involved in your band, The Beating Hearts.
My name is Kelmer, and I've been playing drums for 16 years now. And the way it came about of creating the Beating Hearts Band is it was inspired by Ringo Starr. I wanted to make it a Ringo Starr and the All-Star Band idea, where I bring everyone together that was a part of the album and celebrate the album, the making of the album together, and bring forth a new artist as well.
Who are your bandmates, and what does everyone play or do?
My bandmates are, I've got Zach Lim on piano, I've got Madison Meyer on bass, I have Edward Castro-Avalar on backing vocals, Aiden Burke on backing vocals, Rachel Gledy on backing vocals, Tim Stewart on guitar. There's so much more. It's a big list to go on.
You have a song on your latest album, Love is a Way of Living, called Sun Hippie. What is the story behind this song?
So the story behind Sun Hippie is it's about how I first met one of my friends at the first job I worked at Boston Pizza. And it's about how we first met and how our friendship continues to grow. I took a lot of influence from the song Sun King from the Beatles' Abbey Road album and took some similar chords and used that similar chord pattern and applied that to Sun Hippie.
How did you develop your philosophy that love is a way of living?
I've always lived my life by love, and I still want to continue to do that. I decided to develop the philosophy love is a way of living because it truly is. Like, if you want to live your life through love, you can, which I hope everyone does, but it's really a choice.
May we hear some of your music?
Yes, you may.
This is Sun Hippie and the New Spins Library.
She's a smiling away. Nature been calling. Birds are a calling. Mother Nature's calling. Here comes the sun hippie. Smiling away. As happy as could be.
Here comes
You're gearing up for the release of your debut album at your album release show in Edmonton, Alberta, at the Station on Jasper on September 23rd. I hear that the show will be full of surprises, including a Ringo Starr and the All-Star Band-inspired concert. What is planned for your release night party?
So there's going to be a lot of different Beatles covers and Ringo Starr covers from his solo album material, as well as some George Harrison solo covers. And I also wanted to introduce a special guest artist who's a friend of mine who I've worked in the past, and his name is Melvonic.
What is the process you went through producing Goodbye For Now?
The process I went through is I went through a challenge with a friend of mine. And during that time, I was like, well, I need to write a song about this so I can let my emotions come out. So I had written the song and I got a helping hand from one of my piano players, which I was really grateful for. He helped me figure out some different chords I could use to outline the melody a little bit better in the melody that I had created for the song, which I was very grateful for. From there, I went to the studio. I got it produced by my amazing mixer, and that's how it came to be.
May we listen to some more of your music?
Yes.
This is Goodbye For Now on CKUT.
Back in school, you held that guitar with a smile on your face. You played it so peacefully and gleefully. I saw the beauty inside your soul. Northwest Territories, rumors in the darkness, we felt at home. Neither of us were alone, alone, alone.
If our listeners want some free listening time or to buy your music, where should they go?
You can check my music out on Spotify, Apple Music, iTunes, any music streaming platform out there. Or you can also email me at david.kelmer61@gmail.com and I can ship you a CD that I have, CD copies that I have.
Well, thank you for your interview today.
Thank you. It was a pleasure to be here.
You have been listening to David Kelmer speaking about his music and his brand new album, Love is a Way of Living. I am your host, Sheila Ferrando.
Pop Montreal International Music Festival is back from September 28th to October 2nd, 2022. 5 days of music and over 200 artists, including teen punk viral sensations, the Linda Lindas, Canada's first drag race winner Priyanka, 70s British funk group Simone, Grammy-nominated and Juno Award winner Alison Russell, iconic dancehall queen Sister Nancy, post-rock legends Tortoise, and many more. The festival also features film screenings, visual art, symposium discussions, and as always, many surprises. Get your tickets and passes now at popmontreal.com. A CKUT co-presentation.
Cinema Politica Concordia is thrilled to invite you to the long-awaited launch of our fall 2022 season. Join us on October 3rd for a special screening of the award-winning film, The Territory, a collaborative and deeply committed film about Indigenous land defenders protecting their traditional territory against encroaching deforestation brought by farmers and illegal settlers. Through dramatic landscapes and Indigenous-filmed witness footage, The Territory highlights the global nature of Indigenous struggle for land and climate justice. On October 3rd, 7 p.m., room H110, Concordia's Hall Building, 1455 de Maisonneuve West. Venue is wheelchair accessible, donations kindly encouraged. CinemaPolitica.org